Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with spiritual defilement as we pick up in Mark chapter 7, verse 14. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
During the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, that Syrian king who had conquered Israel and sought to just profane and blaspheme these people, he ordered that they eat, all of them, eat pork. It was a commandment of Antiochus Epiphanes, and if they would not eat pork, they would be put to death. And hundreds of Jews died rather than to eat pork. Thousands of them during the time of the Maccabeans. Thousands of them died rather than to violate the law and eat pork. Now, Jesus is going to say something extremely radical with this kind of a background. Hearken to me. He's talking to the crowd now. He's been talking to the Pharisees, telling them about how they've disannulled the law of God by their traditions. And now he's calling the crowd to hearken to him. And this radical statement, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If any man has a ear to hear, let him hear. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him. Pork, whatever. Now, this was a radical departure from their traditions. In fact, when he came into the house, away from the people, his disciples said, Lord, explain that one to us. And he said unto them, are you without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without enters into a man, it can't defile him, because it enters not into his heart, but only into his belly, and goes out into the drought, and which purges all meats. In other words, the meats are all purged out of your body. They don't defile you in a spiritual sense. And of course, we're talking about ceremonial washing. The meat that you eat doesn't defile you. Now, it can make you sick, or it can, you know, do things, but spiritually, it doesn't defile you. There's no spiritual defilement in it, because it passes through your body. And he said, that which comes out of the man, that is what defiles the man, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds the evil thoughts, the adulteries, the fornications, the murders, the thefts, the covetousness, the wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, the evil eye, the blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All of these evil things come from within that defile the man. So it's not what goes in, but what comes out, and that reveals what is in the man's heart. And there's where the true spiritual defilement or purity exists, in the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. That's where real spiritual defilement is. Not in what you are eating, but what you are, the inward part of your life, what's in your heart. Not what's in your belly that counts. Now, from there he arose. Now, he's at the area around Gennesaret, there at the Sea of Galilee, and he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. Tyre and Sidon, of course, are over on the coast. You've been reading about them quite a bit of late. Tyre is about 35 miles from Capernaum in a northeasterly direction. Of course, about 20 miles further up the road is Sidon. And so Jesus left the area of the Galilee now and is going over actually into Gentile territory. And he entered into a house. He wanted to do it secretly, but he could not be hid. For there was a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, and she heard of him, and she came and fell at his feet. And the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she begged him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, at this point, many people are offended with Jesus. Here is a woman, a mother, who is in real trouble. She's got a daughter that's got big problems. Her daughter is possessed by an unclean spirit. And this mother, out of desperation, is coming to Jesus for help. But because she is a Greek, a Syrophoenician, Jesus makes reference to her as a dog. Now, there were there wild scavenger dogs that were hated by everybody. They would run in packs. They would attack sheep. They would attack children. And they were ferocious, vicious, hated animals. And it was very common for the Jews to call the Gentile dogs. And the word is a derogatory term. And so they would use it in a very derisive, derogatory way. And to think that Jesus would make reference to this woman like that is very unsettling, if he did, but he didn't. There is another Greek word for dog, which is the word that Jesus used. It is that little household pet that's always under the table, that little pet of the family. And most of the Jewish homes had their little pet dogs, which were domesticated and lovable little animals under the table. And when Jesus said it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs, he used this Greek word that could be translated, it isn't right to take the children's bread and to throw it to the little puppies, these cute little dogs under the table. And she answered and said unto him, that's true, Lord, yet those little puppies under the table eat the children's crumbs. Now, in those days, they did not have knives and forks and spoons. They did not have eating utensils. They didn't even use chopsticks. They used the utensils that God first created for man to eat with. They used their hands. And so the eating, it was an interesting process, always bread, and usually you would break your bread, pull it off, and then dip it in the soup or in the sauces or in whatever, and you'd use your bread oftentimes as sort of a spoon. And when we are over there, we usually go out for one oriental, what they call oriental meal, but it's more of an Arabic type of a meal, where they serve you the pita bread and all of these sauces, and you know, you break the thing and you do your dipping and all, and you have all these exotic kind of salsas and everything else to eat with your pita bread, your tahina and your hummus and all of those delicious things. But they use their hands, they use their fingers. Now, of course, by the time you're through eating, you've got, you know, the grease and everything else all over your hands. So, the final piece of bread, you would take it and use it to wipe off as a napkin. You'd use it to wipe off your hands. And then you'd toss it under the table to the little dog down there waiting, standing up and woof, 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 you know, and stand up, you know, and you'd drop him this final piece of bread that had all these delicious juices on it. And the dogs would eat these crumbs or these pieces of bread that would be used to wipe off the hands from the master's table. So to understand it from its cultural background, it's not nearly as severe as it would just appear on the surface to us. Here's this woman, she's a Greek, and she's outside of the covenant. Jesus said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But here is this woman from outside of the covenant race, and she's coming to Jesus, and she's saying, Lord, help me, my daughter is at home, and she's vexed with an unclean spirit. Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to the little puppies. That is, the bread that they're supposed to be eating. You know, that's true, Lord. But those little puppies, they get the crumbs at the end. Those that fall from the master's table, and Jesus said, aw. For this saying, in another gospel said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of your daughter. And when she came home, she found the devil was gone out, and her daughter was lying there on the bed. And again, as he departed from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. So actually, he made a roundabout journey going north before coming south. And they brought unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they besought that he would put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude. And he put his fingers into his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha. That is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure and astonished, saying, He has done all of these things well, and he makes both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Now, here we find, again, an interesting method that Jesus is using. Spitting. Putting his fingers in the guy's ears because he's deaf. And then spitting and putting it on his tongue. The interesting thing about Jesus is that He did not follow a pattern. We seem to be so organized, we want everything to work by patterns. We're always looking for the secret formula. We're always trying to find that method. And we're seeking to develop within the church methodologies. This is the method by which the work of God is wrought. No. There is no method by which the work of God is wrought. God works in many different ways and refuses to be confined to any pattern because God doesn't want us to develop methodology. So the Lord has chosen to work as He pleases to work, and oftentimes in different ways. Now we are told in Corinthians, now there are diversities of gifts, that is of the Holy Spirit, and there are also diversities of operations, so that God may give to 10 people a gift of the word of knowledge, but it works in a different way in all 10 because there are diversities of operations, even of the diversities of gifts. God refuses to be patterned or pigeonholed. God always allows himself that freedom of working in a unique way, however he sees fit. And so it is wrong for us to try to find some method, some secret formula whereby we might see the power of God working in a particular way. There was a time in my own ministry when I was seeking the Lord, as he said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and I was seeking the Lord for the gifts of healing. We were living in Tucson, and I was diligently seeking the Lord. I wanted all that God had for me. There were so many sick people in Tucson. It's one of those places where people from the East who have asthma or arthritis or whatever, they go to Tucson because of the climate and the low humidity and so forth. A lot of sick people. And we had to minister to a lot of sick people. And so I was just thinking, Lord, it would be so great if I just had the gift of healing. And so oftentimes, in our services, we would pray for the sick. And one evening, we had a lady who was we had set up a tent, and we were having a tent meeting out in the area of 22nd Craycroft, near Davis Motham, and this one lady came to the tent, and she was blind in her left eye. And so her friends brought her that she might be prayed for to be healed. And so I laid hands on her to pray that God would heal the blindness in her left eye. And as I prayed, when I said, "In the name of Jesus," I felt something in, you know, a sensation. That's the best I can describe. Just a sensation in my left hand. And when I took my hand off and the lady looked, to my surprise, she said, "I can see, I can see. Oh, praise the Lord, I can see." And, you know, it was exciting. She went around and told the whole neighborhood she could see. And, of course, they all knew she was blind, and she proved it. You know, she'd cover her right eye and read things with her left eye, and her eye was healed. I can't explain it. I was surprised, and pleasantly so, but nonetheless surprised. She started bringing a lot of people with different ailments to be prayed for. And I was trying to remember now, just how did I do it, you know? And what did I say, you know? I was looking for the magic formula. And I'd put my hand on, I'd say, "In the name of Jesus." I wouldn't feel anything. "In the name of Jesus," you know. Gotta be, you know, somewhere in there. But it's interesting how we're always trying to find that formula. God doesn't work by formulas. He works by His sovereign grace. You can't pattern God. And so Jesus didn't follow the same methods. He used different methods. Now, one further thing. He would tell people, now, don't tell anybody. But they'd go out and blow it anyhow. Why was Jesus saying, "Don't tell anyone"? Jesus was seeking to forestall any premature attempt by the people excited over the miracles, seeking to acclaim him and set him up as the Messiah. There was a special day God had before ordained that the Messiah should be revealed to the people. When Jesus was in Cana of Galilee at the beginning of his ministry, and they were at this wedding feast, and they had run out of wine, his mother came to him and said, "Son, they've run out of wine." And he said, "What's that to me? It's not my problem." He said, "My hour has not yet come. Don't rush things, Mom. My hour has not yet come." Jesus was constantly looking forward to that hour in which he was to be presented as the Messiah. And over again, we hear him saying, "My hour is not yet come." So he would say, "Now look, keep it quiet. Don't tell anybody." Because there was an attempt, prematurely, to acclaim him as the Messiah. After the feeding of the multitudes, they said, "Wow, there's got to be, who else can feed them, you know, like that, you know, the Messiah, the kingdom age is here. Look, he can take a few loaves of bread and feed everybody." And they were going to, by force, push him into the position of the Messiah, and he passed through their midst. He disappeared from them. God had promised a day. In the Psalms, he declared, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The day that the Messiah would be revealed. And so Jesus was seeking to stop any movement by the people to prematurely go ahead of God's plan to establish or to seek to establish him as the Messiah. So that is why he would say, you know, go thy way, don't tell anybody. But, you know, when God has done something like that, how can you be quiet about it? And so the more he seemed to try and stop them, the more they published it. And people were amazed because he was able to open up the ears of the deaf and to loosen the tongues of the dumb. The marvelous work of our Lord.
Return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Mark on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Mark 7 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you through the week. May the Word of Christ dwell in your heart richly through faith. And may God help you to take the time to pray. More time in prayer this week. Make it a covenant in your heart before the Lord. Just to spend more valuable time with Him. Even if it means turning off the TV. As horrible as that may sound. And may God just draw you close to Himself, fill you with His love, with His Spirit, strengthen you by His Spirit in your inner man. And out of your heart, may there proceed praises, blessings unto the Lord our God. Oh, may God richly bless you this week as you walk with Him in close communion. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
This Christmas, why not give the gift of God's Word by choosing the Word for Today Bible, featuring Chuck Smith's notes highlighting a simple understanding of the Scriptures. This Bible includes an exhaustive concordance, cross-references, in-text and color maps, words of Christ in red, and Chuck Smith's commentary notes, including Hebrew and Greek word origins. And in the Word for Today Bible softcover edition, we've included Chuck Smith's book, How Can a Man Be Born Again?, which is very informative for a new believer. It's our prayer that as your loved ones read the Word for Today Bible, Chuck's commentaries will give a simple understanding into the Scriptures, causing God's Word to come to life in their heart, not only drawing them into a closer relationship with the Lord, but stirring them to passionately serve God. For more information, please call the Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org to read a preview.